And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 207. Welcome to Black and a Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. I'm Silas Lindenstein, your host with the most. Today with me is another member of the press, Angela Rarden. She's a good friend of mine. She writes a blog for a Frankie's Comics. It's a comic book store that sells online out of North Carolina. Oddly, but she's oddly only because she lives in the Seattle, Washington area. And she was at ECC. We're both fans. We are people who would probably go to ECC, Emerald City Comic Con anyway, but we do press coverage as well. We're both members of the press on the press list. So yeah. And I wanted to have her on so that we can kind of break down Comic-Con this year, our different experiences. Since we weren't together, we could forces combine to discuss and figure out what Comic-Con was like and what our impressions were, things that we liked, things we didn't like, things that really impressed us, why we go to Comic-Con. And let me tell you, some of you might be listening to the show because I was walking around with the camera interviewing people, asking them questions. And I said, oh, yeah, this will be up in a couple of weeks. That is so optimistic of me. It's going to take me longer to go through the footage and stuff because I have things that I'm trying to do besides this. I just launched a new website. Anyway, you don't care about my problems. Anyway, I'm gonna dump on the website for this at blackandhalf.com for the blog post entry about this. If you're listening to this episode, I'm dropping a gallery of photos that are there, so you can go look, see if you made the photos there. Soon enough, I'm gonna cut up some of that footage to answer some of the Comic-Con questions, to see which ones turned out, see which ones I got audio for. See which ones the camera was it. We'll see. See how it worked out. It'll be an improvement. Next year, I'm probably bringing a sound guy with me or gal to help me get everyone recorded properly. Anyway, news in the Black and a Half forum. Over the last, really about 2 years, but last year, I've been a member of the Seattle Film Critics Society, correct? Year before that, I was trying to get eligibility for the Seattle Film Critics Society. So I was dropping a lot of movie review, television review episodes, movie reviews just for the Seattle Film Critics, television just for my soul. And here's the thing. What I've always liked about Black and a Half was the interviews. I loved interviewing people. I did like discussions about films when we did on here, the nerdy things that came out. But I really... the bread and butter of Black and a Half has always been the interviews, interviewing creatives in all different fields. And they didn't have to be nerdy. They don't have to be comedy. You know, we have editors, authors, musicians, and what. I just had someone into virtual reality space recently. I'm going to have some comic book artists hopefully coming on that I met at Emerald City Comic Con. The strength of it has been the interviews. And that's what I want this site to focus on. This podcast is the interviews, Black and a Half, interviews with other people. And discussions sometimes on social issues. I think that's important. So all movie reviews, for the most part, are going to be moving. Oh, well, not moving. I'm not going to physically move them. But they're going to start going up somewhere else. Starting today, I publicly announced a new website, a new podcast called You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein. And it is a dedicated movie and TV review and discussions heavily website and podcast. So I'll be reviewing and discussing films on there. They'll also be going... I'm not going to record a podcast for every film I watch. Some are just going to get written reviews that'll go on you're watching a movie.com So you can go get there and read that. So go subscribe to that website. Go subscribe to the podcast. You can type my name in, Silas Lindenstein, and you'll find it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcast. It's there right now. So go ahead and do that. And also as a favor to me. And, you know, I guess, you know, the millions of listeners that I have, if you go to that, it'll start ranking higher. And then the interviews here won't get lost. You know, what I'll do is probably link over from you're watching a movie over here when I interview a film person. So, and then here, maybe for a while, I'll be linking, hey, you want to see the movie review that came out this week? It's over here. Go to that website. So we'll see what happens. We'll see how it goes. I think being movie focused will also allow new listeners in that don't know what's going on here. To be honest, like to listen to an interview show like this, you probably have to be a fan of mine or Samantha. If she's on the episode, you have to be a fan to want to listen to the interview. That's what most interview shows are. You're a fan of the comedian that hosts it, or that it's being done by. And without me doing comedy out in person so much right now, it's harder to build that fan base for this site. But it's easy when people just search for movie reviews, and everyone has opinion on movie reviews, much like they do food. So it's easier to get new fans for that. And because it's just less all over the place as this one is, which is kind of what I like about it. And I think it's what some other people have told me they like, that I interview such a broad selection of people. But, you know, like a lot of things, your strength is sometimes your weakness as well. So I recognize that. But I do appreciate you listening to the show and coming here and supporting me as I started venturing into film reviews, which has always been a passion of mine. So now head over there, head over to, for the movie reviews and TV reviews and discussions, head over to You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein. And I got some dope theme music on there. I'm so excited for, I have dope theme music on here from Aileen Perrin, from years ago. It's been rocking this. I wouldn't know what to change for it because it is so awesome that it just fits me right here. So this is my Black and a Half theme song here. And I got a new one over there that's more kind of a rap. It's great. I mean, by kind of it is. It's wonderful. Anyway, thank you. Thank you so much to the listeners and everyone who stood by me for this long. A big shout out to our Patreon supporters, especially because technically in the new podcast is also falls under Black and a Half production. So you are by default a Patreon supporter of two podcasts by doing that. Okay. So my Patreon supporters, if you too, for as little as $1 a month, want to become a Patreon supporter of my programs, please go to Black and a Half. So go to patreon.com/ Black and a Half, and for as little as $1 a month, you can become a supporter. And if you want to up the ante a little, raise that up a little, like Tara Widner, Stephen Ward, Keith Nagel, become an Inner Circle member, like then we're talking. That's like a cup of coffee a month. And but you're the primo, you're the cream of the crop. You're getting your name dropped until we have too many people. So you can do that over there. And of course, you can check out my other podcasts. Besides, I have so many now. You can also support my other podcast about home buying. I have a home buying podcast that I educate and empower home buyers all over the nation. You can check that out at yourbuyingahome.com. Yourbuyingahome.com. It's You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, if you want to look it up. So support that. And of course, you can also, wherever you are, if you're like, hey, I'm going to buy a home, Silas, do you know an agent out there? Yeah, I do. And I can hook you up with one. And you know what? Then a part of your proceeds that are going to buy a home, they'll actually, it helps support me. Gives me, I get a little referral fee. You know, like when you Amazon referral fee, someone gets 6 cents. I get I get a little from referring to an agent. But you know me, I'm never going to give you to an agent that's lame or they don't like at least a little bit. For some reason, I like them. I don't know. You never know with me, right? Anyhow, that's that podcast. And this is this one. So right now, I want you to put your hands together. I want you to open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to Black and a Half, episode number 207, Emerald City Comic Con review with special guest Angela Rarden.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Yes.
You are a member of the press, the elite. You are a member of the elite press list. Who do you write for again? What's the name of the?
Frankie's Comics. It's a comic shop out of South Carolina. I know. So I know it's kind of sounds crazy. So basically, they have like obviously an online store. Uh-huh. And they have a Facebook group and stuff. And I was in this group and the owner of Frankie's, his name is Kevin Fields. He posted in there and was like, hey, we're looking to start a blog. Does anybody want to write for a blog? And I was like, I read it and I was like, well, that'd be cool, but he probably won't pick me. And I mean, I've never done something like that.
Yeah.
But then I went back to it and I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna apply basically and see what happens. And so I did. And he asked for some examples of my writing and stuff. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. So it was me. Initially, it was like me and like two or three other guys. And now all the guys have like quit or gone somewhere else. And so it's just me doing the blog. And it's pretty cool. I just have to, basically I'm supposed to write one blog a week and basically anything in nerd culture is what I can cover. So okay. I write about comic books mostly because obviously it's a comic book store.
Yeah.
I've written about WWE.
WWE you write for, which I could see in the nerd culture, especially cause like, I remember I met Christian there at Comic-Con like a year ago. Okay. Like
he was there. I didn't actually meet him, but I did see him there.
And but you did meet, I think I remember you talking about what's her name?
Met Trish Stratus.
Right, but the other one, Hardy's, the old with the Hardy's. Lita.
Lita. I haven't actually met Lita.
Oh, but I thought you talked about that. Okay.
I saw her there, but I didn't meet her either. But I've met at other things. I've met Becky Lynch. I've met Shinsuke Nakamura. Oh, nice. I've met Dolph Ziggler, Charlotte Flair. A lot of them when they come to town.
Where are you meeting these?
when Raw or SmackDown come to town, a lot of times a couple of the wrestlers will do meet and greets. Most of them did it. Oh, I met Matt Hardy also. Or Jeff Hardy. Whoops. But they do them either at the Funko store in Everett, or they have like some contract with Cricket Wireless and they'll go to like a Cricket store and they'll just have the store open just for that. And you can go in.
Interviewed Trish Stratus, it was at a con, right?
So Trish Stratus was actually really cool. It was in this last June. It was Washington Summer Con, and I didn't go to the con expecting to be interviewing anybody. And she was there, and my fiance and I got a picture with her. And then afterwards, she was like doing like an autograph signing. And it was actually my fiance Josh's idea to just go up to the table and ask her like handler or whatever, if I could interview her on behalf of Frankie's. And I'm like, they're not going to let me do that. Like, yeah. She's busy. She's like famous. And the guy, like, he was like, okay, come back at like 4 o'clock when it's towards the end of the day. And if she's not busy, we'll see what we can do. And I'll try and clear it with her publisher or whoever, you know.
Yeah. Moves.
And so we came back. Yeah. And the guy was like, you know what? You were so polite and so nice. And I used to do stuff like this. Like, I used to do interviews. I know how it is. So yeah, I'm going to ask Trish and see if she can do it. She was like off getting food or something. So she came back and we're like, yeah, she was totally down with it. And we went into like a little quiet corner that was like sectioned off and totally impromptu, like 5-minute interview. And I'm like fangirling the whole time.
Yeah.
But it was so cool. Yeah.
You know what? I should do that at ECC more. I haven't tried that. I might go look at the WWE press thing and see if I could get an interview with somebody.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
But okay, so we are here though to talk about Emerald City Comic Con 2022. Yes. That's the year it is.
Yes, that's the year we're in.
Did you go all 4 days?
I only went Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay.
You know, I had to work on Thursday, so that's fine.
Work.
You know what happens? Yeah. So it was not. I mean, like, the thing with Emerald City is I feel like you could go all 4 days and still not see everything.
That's true.
And so going only 3 days, obviously I didn't see everything, but I saw a lot enough, you know, especially because I just went to the December one. So
right. Last year. Yeah, I did feel really close, but
yeah.
And next year will be back in March, I guess, and we'll be back on track.
Which everyone's happy about.
Yeah, it's less hot.
Yeah.
What is your draw to a Comic-Con? Just as a thing, like what makes in particular Emerald City? Is there something that draws you there to look for, to do? What is it?
I really love Artist Alley. There's numerous artists that I have become a big fan of, and I will seek out their booth if I know they're going to be there, just to buy, you know, a print or whatever, just to support them. And then also, I mean, obviously comic books. I collect comics, I read comics. And one of the greatest things for me is when there's comic book writers and artists there that I can meet and get an autograph or talk to for a minute or two. So that's the two main things. And also I am into cosplay, although I did not really do any real cosplays at this most recent one because August is hot and we were all wearing masks, and I often cosplay as Harley Quinn, and I just could not see wearing a mask and doing a full face of makeup. It just
I was really impressed with some people's the inclusion they did of the mask, whether it was the first one I really liked was a Cinderella that wore like a, and this was, I think, Thursday. She had like a blue ball gown, and then she also had a glittery blue mask on. Some people used it as like the face of the character that they were doing, and some just, you know, plain black. But yeah, you get used to them. Like, I think you sort of get used to like, oh, this is that. And some people would take the mask down for a picture, you know, the occasional thing. So it's an interesting play on it and seeing how people.
Yeah. And I mean, some people, like, you know, like you were saying, like they integrated the costume. Like, I did see people with like full face makeup and a mask on and a wig and a whole thing. And I'm like, more power to you, because I would be dying. And just
so
warm. I
saw Spider-Man lift up his mask to get a drink, and he had another mask underneath that. And then took a drink. And I was like, yes, you are adhering to rules. I like you. What are you?
You're
listening.
And I have to say, that is one thing. I feel like really everyone did follow the mask rule. I didn't see a lot of people that weren't wearing a mask, although I did see it was kind of awkward. I was walking past, I don't know, some booth, and there were some girls walking behind me, and some guy running the booth said hi to them as in a, hey, come check out my stuff. And they kind of kept walking, and one girl looked over and said, why are you wearing a mask? And he said, I took it down to eat. Like, he's yelling after her. I took it down to eat. And her friend's like, yeah, he took it down to eat. And she's like, oh. So that was an awkward. That was the only mask situation that I even heard.
I did see several. There were a few vendors that definitely just were not eating, and they were just not wearing it. I don't know if they just don't notice.
Maybe.
Usually it's over the head. I did talk about in com. That was a true story in my. I did, for those of you that don't know, I do a show called The Real Nerds of Comedy at Comic-Con. So
which
I
is really
a comedy
good.
Set. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I did a like a 10-minute set there, and I spoke about this, and it was a true story of a guy who had a little sign that said he's federally exempt from.
Yeah,
I took
okay,
a bunch of pictures
right.
of him while he was like arguing. There was a security guard, the guy who was like, "Hey, you got to wear a mask." He's like, "No." They're like, "It's a Comic-Con rule." He's like, "Don't even get me started." Like he was
oh,
like,
God. In
a
fight.
And I'm like, "What? Oh God, come on!" And then the guy took a picture of him, and then he like went off like, "What are you gonna do?" Like, and he started. And then I started taking pictures because I was like, I'm pressed, so I can do this.
Right.
If you can't, I actually have special access. I'm authorized right. by Emerald City to take pictures as much as I want. So
that's smart.
Right. So I'm like, he didn't say anything to me, but I just saw that. Then I, in his act, so people know I what I had said was I saw this one guy without a mask, and he had this sign that said he was federally exempt, where he had this little next to his badge that said he was federally exempt. And I thought it was great because he was cosplaying as an asshole. And that was,
yeah, that was great.
So people appreciated it. Yeah. What were your favorite things? Can you name like your three favorite things that happened there that you saw, experienced, or the three highlights?
So the first thing is actually, so my fiance had hurt his foot like prior to Comic-Con. Oh, yeah. And
so he cosplayed as Mr. X, Professor X.
Exactly. Right. No. Well, kind of. Yeah.
Or Christopher
yeah,
Pike.
So, yeah. So on Friday and Saturday, like, we were just kind of walking slow and, you know, it was bothering him, but like got through the day, you know, and then Sunday morning, cause we had a hotel down there and Sunday morning. we got up and he was like, yeah, I can't even walk. My foot is so bad today. And he didn't want me to miss the last day. And also he had commissioned a sketch from an artist named Ariel Diaz, and she did an amazing job. And he had to go and pick it up from her. So we're trying to figure out how we're going to do this. And finally, like it's almost 1 o'clock. I finally get to Comic-Con and, you know, I like walked ahead of him and I'm like, maybe they have wheelchairs. I don't know. And, I found out that they do have a room you can go in, you can rent a wheelchair or like a motorized scooter. And you know, just pay, it's like half a day or like a full day. And we ended up doing that for the last 4 hours of con on Sunday. And it was like $80, which is, you know, kind of expensive if you do it every day. But
yeah,
it made it so we could enjoy con. And he had a lot of fun riding around on it. Let me tell
nice.
You, he kept
yeah.
zooming away. So so it was like a really cool thing that we didn't even know existed. And we've been going to Comic Cons forever. And so I just think it's kind of worth it to mention that they do that.
Yeah.
You know,
that's great.
It's a good service.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Man,
and complete your Christopher Pike cosplay if you are trying
yeah.
and you don't.
Yeah. Next time we'll be prepared. Yeah. We're prepared to cosplay like that. So this con for me, like it was a fun con, but the last two cons I was at, I felt like I had more like noteworthy things happen. Because obviously at the summer con, I had the Trish Stratus thing. And then last year at Emerald City, 2021, I, kind of like made some connections with, this comic book artist, and it was really cool. Or he was a writer. It was really cool. And I just had like a number of cool little things like that happen. This con, like not that anything was bad about it. It was just like more of a regular con for me, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely, you know, caught up with some artists that, I was happy to be able to, cause I was like, oh my God, I'm a huge fan. I'm so happy to see you in person, you know, especially,
yeah.
Ones that were supposed to have been at the con in 2019 that didn't happen, or 2020 yeah. that didn't happen. And they hadn't been back until just now. So it was really cool to be like, oh my God, I can finally get your stuff.
Are you a panel person? Do you go to panels?
Not really. I mean, I have in the past. I didn't this time. I mean, other, like, the only thing I went to was your comedy show, which was worth it. Yeah.
You know, but I stopped going a few years ago because one, I would go to see you know, Nichelle Nichols or something. And it was like the first time I had seen her, like, oh, great, that's fun. And then the next time I had gone to see, like, oh, these are kind of close to the same stories and the same questions are asked. And then a lot of them, too, are like, I understand pre-internet, these were gold. Like, you never heard some of these stories. But now I'm like, yeah, I've seen that story a lot. I feel like you're sitting there waiting for a magic moment of someone to ask a rare question that doesn't get asked.
And there isn't really one.
It takes a lot for that to happen.
Yeah.
And the panels are like, I'll go to a friend's panel if they're hosting, you know, to be supportive. Yeah. I will say a little ego brag. It's a little fun to go to other people's panels.
Yeah.
Knowing what mine's going to be like. Because because I'll go to others and they're like, yeah, they're excited if they get 20 people to show up to their whatever topic. And I do mine and I'm like, if I don't have 300 people here, I'm going to be sad. Because we pack it to standing room only usually. Like, there was standing room in the back because people didn't know there were some seats up front, which I was sad because I was like, I'm taking the picture. I want the filled. Like, what a.
You should have been like, come up front.
It's so great to like have a packed panel and not be a celebrity. Right.
Yeah. That's really cool.
And I don't think there's a lot of them. I think there was a nerd improv group that I think did a show, and I know they were usually sold out or packed.
Okay.
But it's, I don't know if they're counting numbers this time, but like, I think that's one reason we get to come back a lot is people come for it. And like, I talked to somebody who said, oh, yeah, we've come every year for the last 5 years. You need new jokes, Silas. But I'm like, okay, fine. But someone told me people probably wouldn't remember once a year jokes. But I will clarify, I had like 5 new jokes in there. Like I did put some new stuff sprinkled in.
There you go.
So it's good motivation too.
Yeah.
But I do like, you know, there's panels that I'm interested in, but usually when I'm with a child, like I can't.
Yeah.
And I don't feel bad anymore either. I used to, but like, especially this year, I walked around and did interviews with some folks that I'm going to publicize later. And I was asking, and a couple people said they go to the con to look at other cosplayers. That is the whole reason they go. Or to look at cosplayers, even if they're not dressed.
Yeah.
That's what they love. They love that. Yeah. Walking around the booth. That's the only reason they go. And I'm like, that was so freeing because sometimes I feel like I don't do enough. I just go, I'm a merch guy. I love going for the merch.
Yeah, I like see what's merch there. Too. I'm still broke from Comic-Con.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I spent. Let me run through my best. I loved how many Black comic book creators were there this year. There was, I swear, it was the largest amount. I bought, and usually I will buy, like, they would have to be a really horrible salesperson for me not to buy their comic book if it's, I see a Black comic book. Though, if they pick up the diversity even more, I'm going to have to start saying no, because I did end up buying a lot of comic books. I bought Space Negro. That was one.
That
was funny. I can't wait to read it. I bought this one called, I saw the title and I just beeline there and bought it. And I'm glad because it sold out apparently the next day.
Oh.
Harriet Tubman, Demon Slayer.
Oh my God, that sounds
and
amazing.
I was like, what? I am buying this. And turns out apparently he hasn't gone to the next stage of it because Disney Plus has picked it up. And he was writing the script and working on it with them.
Okay, well, maybe you can let me borrow that and I can write about it for Frankie's because sounds amazing.
I can't wait to read it. My wife has perused it apparently and it's a little graphic for her. So you're like,
okay.
And I was like, it's called Demon Slayer. What do you think it's
right? What do you expect?
It's not Bugs Bunny. So I really like the diversity. They've really got it going on.
Yeah,
there.
Okay.
I got a bunch of other ones. I really like the I mean, the cosplay is all, there's always some something this, that blows my mind for the
cosplay. That is true. I should have mentioned that. There was, I saw someone, I don't know what the character was, if it was a character, but she was like a Viking centaur. And like the back, so she has like a horse, back of horse, like a centaur, and the back leg is attached to her leg. So when she walked, like she actually walked like a centaur, and awesome. And she had like a sword, and it was pretty amazing. I probably a top cosplay that I've seen. Yeah. I mean, I love Vikings and I just love horses. Like, I mean,
it was really cool. I saw the best Princess Leia, slave Leia that I've ever seen.
Oh yeah.
She was on it. It's probably the height of Carrie Fisher too was. And she admitted she was not even a Star Wars fan. She likes to dress up
In
outfits that make her look really good that other people will enjoy and want to take pictures. And I'm like, wow, that's
wow.
That is almost a fetish. That is interesting. Like that was like, well, she looked good too. Yeah. She was working it.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, like I mean, but that's what people are into. They're into.
Yeah.
That and a great Zelda, one from Legend of Zelda. I think it's like a beetle or something. It's on my Facebook cover.
Oh, okay. Page.
And then of course the real nerds account. I mean that's always a highlight. Getting to perform there is a highlight for me. There are some things I did really want to cover though, as far as some. I hope they improve this.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay.
There was a couple disappointments. Now, the one you may not relate to, the kids section. I'm guessing you probably didn't go to Kids HQ, right?
Didn't really hang out there. No.
This was the worst of increasingly minimal family programming. There was hardly anything to bring a little Padawan to. Like, I mean, yeah, I can walk around everything else, but there was like the kids section was like real, honestly, pathetic. The 501st wasn't there, which is usually a big Star Wars presence.
Yeah.
And they do a setup for kids.
Yeah.
And where the HQ for kids was, there was a couple little panels. And I'm like, they got to step this game up, because if I'm going to be paying... Even the child's fee is cheap, but like, otherwise I need to take time away from my kids on the weekend, and other people do.
Yeah.
If there's stuff for them to do, it's incentive for me to go and spend money. And I don't know if it was pandemic or what. I mean, the Lego thing was there, but that was one of my number one things was step up the family game. Number two, this security thing. While I appreciate they don't tag lightsabers for being to make sure you know they're not real.
Right.
There's some really pathetic ones. I'm like, why are you tagging that? I get it's policy. It is so unfriendly to walk up to this building now with the security gates all around. And then you walk.
It is.
And if you go all the way around, a little annoyed that they don't let, by the way, yeah, they let everybody. They let speakers in, gallery members or exhibitors in through this one entrance, but not press. Press has to go around.
I was surprised by that.
Like,
right? And it literally says when you apply for the press pass, it's like, this does not guarantee you a special access or early access or anything like that.
I'm kind of like, why? Why?
Why?
I mean, I shouldn't. Yeah. I know I don't get early access or whatever. I mean,
right?
No, you want me to? I'm covering that it, so I would hope I would
be nice.
Even some interviews,
especially like if I mean, I didn't. I didn't interview anybody, but part of the reason I didn't was because when I went to SummerCon, I had also interviewed a cosplayer there named Nightmage. And it was a really good interview, but there was so much background sound that no one was able to clear it up for me, and you couldn't hear us talking very well. And I have not really upgraded my equipment enough to put up with.
Well, no, you need PC, to. You got to get a quiet room, really. Or
which if you did it beforehand, before the floor opened, would be a lot easier. But once the con's going,
and I was listening to my audio, and I was a little disappointed, and I have good equipment, so. It is just a tough place to without.
Yeah.
You kind of need a second dedicated like audio person there to be working it while you're doing the interviews. To be honest, that's just, you kind of need that. And I think I'm going to do that next year. I'm probably just going to pay for a pass for someone to come in and do audio for me so that interview people. It's worth it for me.
Yeah.
If I get access again. But the security, it's unfriendly and it's not easy to get in now. Like I'm like, they gotta make this.
Well, I did think it was easier. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Dress them up as stormtroopers or something. And
that would be great.
Go through.
I did think it was easier than it was last year because last year they had to look through your bag it took a long time. I mean, this year, at least you just had to walk through the thing, whatever that metal detector, I don't know what it was, but they didn't have to take your bag and dig through it at least.
I didn't understand what they were looking for when they wanted people to look through, like if people were sneaking knives, like
because if I was sneaking a knife and I'm not going to give you my bag that has my knife in it, like
I just don't understand, like, okay, what in the past happened to make them feel the need for this level of security? Like this is kind of extreme. Be one thing if I had seen like a shooting at a Comic-Con.
Yeah.
I'd be like, fucking take it.
Yeah.
Whatever. But
I mean, like, thankfully I've never heard of that. Yeah. So
I'm kind of like, I was just like, I don't understand why they're doing this. So that's just a question mark for me. The third, was that it? Those were my two big ones, but like, I don't know. Like, Oh, the other thing is like, oh my God, this thing is spread out so much.
That was a big complaint.
I have not gone to the gaming place until this year since they moved it because I was like, I have to go where?
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked it when it was all in, when everything was one floor, it was very pleasant. I moved to everything. I changed.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're trying to move people to other places. I get celebrities maybe at a different spot.
Yeah.
But in the past I've gone like, I'll go away over there to that one. I don't know why, but it feels so disconnected and it makes me only kind of do the one thing that I'm into. And I really wish it was all together in some way. I don't know if other cons are like this. I need to go to other ones maybe.
I only went to the gaming area because we had a friend that was working there that was literally like, you need to come visit me. So we did. And we visited him and then we just were like, okay, let's go back now. I never made it to the real con section.
Some people, here's what I thought was cool. In the past, I would take my daughter to the gaming area and we showed her a game and we would try out a game and we usually bought one because we could like, hey, do you think this is cool? Yeah. Well, we should buy it. Okay. Let's do that.
Yeah.
And now we don't because we have to go way over there. And I love the idea of like, if I'm just right here, I can sit down and like, hey, let's do a Pokemon tournament or let's like play these retro games.
Yeah.
I get maybe if that's people's focus and they go over there. Okay, I mean, I don't want to complain too much about free pinball, but the pinball
room. Okay, I love pinball, I looked in there. I'm like,
six
there's
machines.
Like six machines, and then some things weren't even pinball machines that were in there.
Yeah,
and they were all being used.
Ones.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm not gonna just stand here and wait for a chance to play pinball. I mean, I have a pinball Star Wars game on my Switch. I'll just play that. You know, Yeah, so we didn't do much over there. Like I said, we never made it to the Lego area because it was somewhere else and we never even remembered to look for it. Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't a drop. You know what it is? It's like, you've worked in the grocery biz
in
the past. How you put you put the hot sellers in the back.
Yep.
The ones that everyone's going for.
Through it. Yep.
So that they walk by the stuff that you want.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a desire to get things like Family HQ going, there needs to be a draw to get them over there.
Yeah.
Like, that's what was great about the 501st because they were a draw. You're like, I want to go get the Star Wars pictures with them. So let's bring it. So, and they'll be back, I'm told, in March.
Hopefully. I did miss that. Yeah. I did hear that. I think they're rebuilding or building a new convention center.
I thought I heard a rumor of some
That's
sort.
What I've heard. I have not looked into it, but supposedly it's going to be bigger and not spread out the way the current one is.
Oh, that would be so,
so
nice.
If that's true, it'll make future cons a lot better. Because the only other con I've been to is, other than Washington Summer Con, I've been to Rose City down in Portland.
I want
to
go.
And I mean, it's been a few years since I was there, but it's a little bit smaller. But yeah, it was all in one spot. You didn't have to go to a hotel or, you know, across the street or wherever to go to see different things. It was all in the convention center, which was much better, which I really like that con. So, and that's one of the reasons. So hopefully these rumors about this new building are true and not have to walk through all of Seattle.
There's a building that I don't know about. I mean, there's a lot of construction, so I guess easily could be like, oh, I just didn't know that was.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I kind of regret not looking into it before we talked. God,
I wonder who owns. I wonder who. I hope it's the same owners. I mean, not that I care, but I was like, it must be. Imagine owning a convention center, and then people going like, oh yeah, they're building a new one. Like what?
Right.
What do you mean they're new one? Oh crap. Unless the city.
Well, does the same person own both, do you think? Is it owned by the state? Is it owned by the city? I don't know. I have no clue.
It should be.
It should be.
Let's bring socialism. I want that.
Yes, I like that. We can all own part of the building.
Let's all own part of the convention center.
Yeah.
But I like, okay. And while I did complain, I mean, I'm certainly will go back next year. I just hope that they.
Yeah. I heard also. Like, I mean, I'd really just stay in the main building. I mean, part of it was because of my fiance's foot. We're not going to walk all over the city, you know. But also, I did hear from a lot of people that, like, signs for things were not clear. Like, where you were supposed to go for things, it wasn't clear. I heard the autograph area, which I didn't go to. I heard there was, like, long lines just to get into the building where their autographs were. Yeah, and then another line to stand in to get the autograph.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't experience that, but I heard I had a couple friends that went through that and were not pleased. There was another point I was going to make, and I just forgot what it was. So...
you know,
it just felt a little unorganized, I guess.
Here's a snobby part of me. I no longer pay for autographs.
I
did when I first moved to Washington and first went to cons. But as a performer myself, as an entertainer, a stand up, an actor, what have you, filmmaker, Well, for one, they used to do these for free. They used to
you
paid for a picture and you got a free one. So the whole, there's a principality of it, right? I'm also like, we're in the same job.
Right.
I'm not paying for someone in the same job as an autograph. And I get it. They're bigger. They are way bigger, way more important than me. But I'm like, I'm not paying for another actor's job.
That's fair.
So if my goal is to work with them and then I can fanboy near the end
and
get a selfie or something.
Yeah, right.
The selfie's autograph anyway. So
I've never actually gotten an autograph. I mean, I've gotten pictures, you know, but I got a picture like with Stan Lee, like that, you know, that obviously was a big deal. Yeah, you know,
limited opportunities for that.
Yeah, but and sometimes like comic book artists, I'll be like, can I take a selfie with you? You know, but like they don't charge. So usually, unless they're pricks, I don't know. One thing I was also disappointed about with this con was the lack of big name comic book creators. There were not a lot of big artists or writers that had not previously been there recently. So like Chris Claremont, who is, I don't know if you know who he is. He writes for Marvel. He writes X-Men. He created a lot of the characters. In fact, he created Gambit, who's one of my favorites. I just wrote a blog about Gambit last night. He was there, I think it was in 2018, 2017. And I met him. I got a picture with him. He signed my first appearance of Gambit comic, you know, and it was really cool. And this year he was like their biggest name. Like they didn't have anyone bigger than him as far as comic book creators. And I'm like, that's cool that he's there, but I've already seen him at the same con a few years ago.
Yeah.
And there wasn't really anyone else that was a big draw for comic book nerds like myself. So that was a little disappointing.
I guess
that's on the celebrities.
That that begs the question then for me. What is it? Because I immediately always go to like supporting new and independent artists, right?
Yeah.
Or like, or not that they're not independent, but like, I guess that's something I don't even relate to since I don't know comic book writers.
Because you don't, yeah.
Like, is it's, it, I guess it's, it must be similar to an author. Like, that's a
yeah.
Author. Do you get good access to these big names when you do? Or is it?
Yeah, they'll do like autograph signings like at certain times, you know.
Are
you
they usually go up charging and, for those or are they?
It, most of them don't. Some of them do. Some of them will do the first one free and then charge for the rest. And the other thing that's cool about it too is if you collect comic books. So the comic book grading companies, CBS and was it CG? Oh my God, I can't remember that one. But anyway, there's two big ones, right?
Yeah.
And one of them was there at the con.
Oh.
So if there had been a artist or writer that I had wanted to get an autograph from, you know, on a comic book, which I've done this at other cons in the past, what you can do is you get a representative from that, some CBS or the other company, whose name I forgot. They go with you to visually verify that the autograph is, you know, from the person that you say it is.
Yeah.
And then you go back and you can submit your book and they send your book in and they grade it. And then that's when you get the book and the hard casing that I'm sure you've seen.
Yeah.
And then the autograph is verified, which, you know, obviously makes the book more valuable.
Yeah.
So if you're a collector or if you're trying to sell it, you know, obviously that's a big thing. So for them to not really have a lot of people there that were, you know, I guess elite. I don't know what the word is, but, yeah. You know, people that you would want to do that with.
Upper echelon, I think.
Yeah,
is what
exactly.
I would say.
Yes. So that considering the fact that it is called a Comic Con.
Yeah.
It's true. A little disappointing.
It's
for that. Yeah.
I haven't all Comic Cons sort of kind of leaned to become like a superhero movie con, like,
yeah, it really is. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And I do like celebrities, obviously. You know, I didn't get any pictures with any, this year. I kind of regret not getting one with Brendan Fraser, to be honest. I had thought about it, but it was $100. And, then I saw that. Yeah, that's a lot. The only one I've paid for that was that much in the past was David Tennant, and I split the cost with my friend.
Yeah.
Because we both were in the photo then. So like, that's a lot for me to spend for a photo. But I'm like, oh, it's Brendan Fraser. Like he's kind of just started doing cons again. Like everyone knows, like he's been through a lot and like, he's kind of everyone's darling. Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I would like to meet him. But then I saw they were doing like a plexiglass in between. And I was like, ugh, yeah. I don't know, $100 with plexiglass. But I kind of regret not doing it because I saw photos on Facebook from, cause I'm in, you know, the Comic-Con groups, you know, he was having a lot of fun with people. Like basically he would pose with you any way that you wanted. I mean, obviously there's a plexiglass, but you could both be leaning on the plexiglass, like, and he just looked like he was having the time of his life.
Good.
And
that's great.
And everyone that had a photo with him was like, oh my God, that was such a good experience. It was so worth it. So well, I'm a little upset that I didn't do it. So if he comes back, I'm probably going to do that. But generally speaking, $100
so much money. They must make so much. So I do. Yes. I don't know if they get paid per one or a fee.
I don't know either. I would like to know.
I did read a thing talking about some nerd guy, something that does movies. When he learned how much people were getting paid, he thought that was a ripoff.
And I think I've heard about that too.
He said
I don't
remember who it was. He was actually not going to do cons anymore.
Yeah.
One reason he was like, I'm not going to do signatures if I go to one.
Well,
because he doesn't believe in that.
It might have been Will Wheaton actually, because I think I heard something about Will Wheaton.
I would have remembered Will Wheaton.
Really?
No,
okay.
It was the more ancillary. My daughter makes fun of me to this day because I think it was 4 or 5 years ago. I was doing a Pictionary thing that was out on the main floor. There used to be they started doing a thing on the main merchandise floor where they would have interviews and stuff, and it was fun. And I did like a nerd version of Pictionary. I was one of the guests on it. And right before I was there, Felicia Day was on talking.
Okay.
And so I was in the green room waiting. And then I was standing there waiting to go on, and she comes back from having been on, and she's standing next to me, and she's like, "Hi." And I'm like, "Hi." I was starstruck for the first time in years. Like,
oh my gosh.
I didn't know what to say, and I wanted to say so much. And I'm like, because I was like, I don't know what else to say other than I love you. And so and my daughter's here, and this will be awkward. And and like she goes, I'm like, that was Felicia Day. She's like, who? I was like, Dr. Horrible sing-along blog. And she's like, what's that? I'm like, well, I haven't showed you yet, but oh my God. I'm like, I can't speak. I can't speak. Like, I was just, it was,
it's been a while.
And I was like, I hope to get to that again one day. And then something like that. And I'm like, that was my opportunity to speak to a celebrity. I don't know if I would have paid for it, but starstruck. I was starstruck, and I was performing right after her.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. A great way to go into that. I was actually surprised I was not like that when I met Trish Stratus, because in my head, I am freaking out, right? And when I met, so Becky Lynch is my favorite WWE wrestler, right?
Yeah.
And I met her at a Cricket Wireless store in like Everett or something several years ago. Yeah, well, she was doing it like a meet and greet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a meet and greet. And, you know, we'd gotten there at some insanely early hour to sit outside this Cricket Wireless store to meet Becky Lynch. And the whole time I'm telling myself, don't freak out, don't freak out, don't freak out. So then we get in there and, you know, she's there. She was the Raw Women's Champion at the time, and she's got her title, you know. And I think I like blacked out because I went up to her. I didn't even say anything. I just hugged her. and then I started crying. and she was very, very nice. Like, obviously she has dealt with crying strangers before. Yeah. And she was so nice. I guess she told me she liked my hair. Don't remember that. You know, and my, you know, my fiance was there too, because there were some people waiting to meet her that they had, if you wanted a photo with her, you had to like do it like as a group with whoever you were with. Right. So he's there too, like waiting for me to get off of her so that he can say hi. And, so eventually I compose myself a little bit. We take a photo with her and it's like the worst photo of me ever, because my face, I don't know. I look like I'm having a stroke in this photo. And then afterwards I turn to her and I start crying again, and I hug her again, and I say, you're the reason I watched WWE. And she once again was super nice and just kind of patted me on the back and until I stopped crying. And then we walked away and we went outside, and it was like cold outside, and I kind of woke up a little bit and I was like, what did I just do? And at the time, my Becky Lynch was called Becky Two Belts, because she had won the SmackDown and the Raw Women's Championship. Okay. You know, so she was Becky Two Belts. So I told a friend of mine this story, a friend who's also into WWE, and you know, my nickname is Lala. So he dubbed me Lala Two Cries after that. So that's my really bad celebrity meeting experience. And I really hope I can meet her again sometime
and not
be like that. Yeah. But she was, like I said, she was so nice. Like, she could have just been like, get off of me. And I would, you know, but
yeah.
She was very cool. And I met Charlotte Flair the next day, and I was much cooler with her. Like, she was, I think she was the SmackDown Women's Champion at the time, because Becky had lost the belt, the SmackDown belt. I met her at Funko. She was doing a signing at the Funko HQ. And I was much cooler with her, but she was sitting behind a table. So maybe that's why, like, I couldn't latch onto her. But, but yeah, meeting Becky Lynch was a very pivotal moment in my life. So, I mean, at least you didn't start crying and hug Felicia Day, because, you know, you could have done.
Well, I might have got kicked out.
That's true.
That would have been assault. Well, awesome. Angela, it's been great having you on the show to chat about Comic-Con. I never get to I feel like, man, I don't know why I haven't been doing this before, but doing like postmortems on it.
That's a good idea.
Connects to it. Yeah. Like, and then, yeah. So And thanks for coming on here, Black and a Half, for the first time.
Yeah.
I'll have to get you again to ask you the world famous seven questions. Yeah. But so we didn't have time for that today, but I had to, just had to get the ECCC coverage in for this year. Be sure to check out Angela Reardon's. We'll put a link in there to your blog
and Frankie's comics.
Yeah. And we'll put a link on the website to that, and hopefully garner some new fans.
That'd be cool. Appreciate that.
Yeah. And Black and a Half.
Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive.
Live long, live long, and prosper, and prosper, and prosper, and prosper, and prosper.